Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne State, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those towards the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, of course, their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I have learned from forgiveness and give it to you, the audience. Today, I have a very special guest, Lexi Sade, fellow podcaster of a podcast called Lex and the City. And in this episode, she talks about forgiving her ex-fiance and the things that she went through. I want you all to listen because this is a very powerful episode. Here's the interview. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne State, and I have a very special guest with me, Lexi Sade, fellow podcaster. Say hello.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much, Mr. Staten, for having me on, Dwayne. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It sounds so formal. Wow. Thank you. I appreciate
it. That's why I try to switch it up, Dwayne. Thanks, Dwayne. Actually, one of my best male friends, his name is Dwayne, actually, as well.
See,
so it's easy to pronounce your name.
It's something about the Dwaynes. It's just something about us that just, it's just good. I just want to ask you this quick question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the most embarrassing fashion trend that you used to rock?
Oh my gosh. Mm. Probably those hats, the what they call them, the sipping on your scissors hat.
Wait.
And the bucket hat.
I was yeah.
And the you know, like with the material that looked like a sombrero. It's like, yeah, that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say the worst for me. Let's see. Dang, what did
I
know. What? I used to wear like Dragon Ball Z shirts when I was a little kid.
Oh man, yeah.
I did.
Okay.
And I was I used to see other fellow nerds. I'm just like, I'm not that nerdy. And I look down at my shirt. I'm like, daggone it, I am.
I was going to say, why do I feel like people probably still wear something like that?
Oh, or
anime? Has that been replaced with the anime stuff?
No, here's the thing. As you can see, I'm more comfortable with my stuff now. I got Marvel on my hoodie. I'm definitely more comfortable with it now.
Definitely because that's just who you are. So you did comic book, cartoon, that kind of thing. Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Yeah. It's worse things you could be wearing, brother. So it's all right. I'm with it.
Talk about that one.
Okay.
So
a lot going on.
You messaged me on Instagram after I had a mutual friend of ours, Christina, on the podcast. Yeah. And you told me you had a story to tell. And you gave me a little bit. And as soon as you gave me that little bit, I was like, let us get you on here immediately.
Yes.
So please tell us your story.
Yes. Okay. So I don't know how you title things, but I'm going to title my own situation right here for some moment if I can.
That's fine.
And I'm going to say, love is blind. I didn't know that I was in a relationship with a narcissist until the relationship was over. That's all I can say. So, as far as, it was crazy. So if you want me, I could get right into it. I hope one of the reasons I wanted to come on, because like I said, the episode you did with Christina was so, man, I said that thing to so many people, Christina Hansberry. I said that thing to so many people because it was so many nuggets and jewels, you know? Mm. And to me, that's the good thing about when believers get together.
Yes. You know,
it feels like church, even though you're not in church, but not in a churchy way. It's just healing, you know, it's deliverance there, it's different things that you can hear and pick up. Like I actually took notes, so I'm gonna have to get with one of you all about the notes that I took. This is not a little dialogue or something in the background, because it was just so on point. But so that's what made me want to come on. And then when I was just trying to think of, you know, what to actually speak specifically about, me talking about my ex-fiance, is actually, this will be the first time I've spoken about that situation publicly, other than one episode I did on my own podcast.
Okay.
Sometime I mentioned him or our situation, you know, in passing, but it really has been a really soft spot for me for a while.
Okay.
And so I'll give a little bit of background first before I kind of just mention, you know, that whole situation. And then of course you can ask whatever, you know, questions you have.
Absolutely.
And we can just kind of go back and forth like that. But for me, basically, the reason I said that I didn't realize that he might have had like narcissistic personality until it was over is because of how he left the relationship. So basically, we were engaged. We were supposed to be married a month later.
Okay.
And he was still asking questions that to me didn't seem like you should ask a person that you're about to get married to in a month. And so finally, and I know that that conversation had to be spirit led because it actually caused me to stop and pause for a minute and ask a question back to him. We were on the phone, like I had, because we were living together at the time. You know, I'm not going to act, you know, super churchy. That's the first and only man I ever lived with other than my father. But that's, still, okay, we were doing the shock up. We were doing a shock up thing, you know. So we literally had just left each other, like, because I work at nights and he works, he was in training for MPD. So okay. His shift started early in the morning. So, you know, we were kind of passing each other as far as the time. So he would always just call me on his way to work. And so he's like, babe, you know, can you deal with me and my issues? You know, like, can you handle that and things like that? And I think the difference, Dwayne, between him and I is that he had prayed a prayer of salvation as far as I knew. We went to church consistently together. We even went to Christian counseling, you know, and things like that. But I think that he lacked having his own personal relationship with God. And so when you have that, sometimes, you know, in the world, when you don't have a faith system, then your problems are your God. You know, you don't have anything else to pull back on. So it was like the most of our relationship, he pretty much would talk all about his problems. And me, on the other hand, is like, yeah, I know you have those problems. I'm not ignoring those, but let's pray about it. You know, can you go to counseling? We're not going to continue to just sit here and stay here because it doesn't seem like you're trying to get better. Yeah. But toward the end of our relationship, he actually had been going to therapy through the MPD. So I'm thinking that that was bringing some things to light for him, you know? So anyway, so to just bring it back, we ended up having a conversation and he said, you know, he was like, yeah, can you deal with me? Can you handle my issues? And finally I had to say, okay, so check this out. If you have to continue to wonder if I can deal with your demons, as he likes to call them, and your issues, and we're a month out before we get married. When I say a month out, Dwayne, like I said, we had did the premarital counseling through my church, which we got a discount, but we paid for that. I had bought a little, you know, cheap dress from somewhere. We had did engagement photos. And I had literally just sent out an electronic invitation. We had been looking at venues. I had contacted caterers. I mean, it was the whole shebang.
So you were invested.
Yeah. And now we're on the phone having this conversation. And I'm just like, so I said, well, if you have to wonder that about me, then should I be the person? Should we be doing this? Like, what's really going on? It was one of those conversations. And it finally came out when he said, you know what? I'm going to just be honest. I'm not ready.
Wow.
And he said, because, you know, I have these issues, you know, and I just want to try to work on myself and, you know, and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay. But of course, in my head, I'm thinking, now we have been engaged for like a year.
Right.
And we have been in a relationship for a little more than 2 years altogether.
Right.
So I'm thinking, at some point in the last 11 to 12 months, you don't think you could have just came out to me, pulled me to the side? Maybe we would have not visited that venue. Maybe we could have had that conversation on the way to that venue and just be like, babe, I'm not ready. And then, you know, and then we could have talked things through at that point. But now it just seems like he waited until the last minute. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can still hear you.
Okay, good. Okay. So now it's like he waited until the last minute. So I'm like, okay. So what I said to him was, because I'm understanding, I can understand that. What I said to him was, okay, we can put the wedding on pause. About how much time do you think you may need? He tells me, I don't know. I'm not putting a time limit on it. Oh, okay. So, you know, I'm like, so in other words, you want me to just wait for you for however long you think that is. I'm supposed to just continue to be your fiance, continue shacking up with you, which of course I'm already bad thing, compromising my morals, my relationship with God anyway in this situation, you know, and now you're telling me to do this for however long until you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, honestly, and he didn't see it this way, and this is where we had a problem after everything was all over, why he handled me the way that he did. My love and care for him actually said to me, well, clearly you can't work on yourself while you're in this relationship.
Gotcha.
So how about we just end the relationship and I'll give you time to work on yourself? And I was thinking maybe we would just be friends, kind of go back to the dating thing, you know, maybe I could have moved back home because at that time, But when we first started dating, I had my own place. He was just getting his own place.
Right.
In that process, I had to get my apartment renovated. And so I needed somewhere to stay for like a couple of months. You know, I had to put my things in storage. And then we just kind of got comfortable, to be honest. It wasn't even, oh, I love you so much, you love me. It was like, we got comfortable. And actually, he couldn't afford to pay his bills on his own. I should have known that was a problem, because wow. I found out later on that he was taking me out on dates with his credit card, which I would have never wanted him to do that. You know what I mean? So I should have known then, like, there's that dishonesty piece. You know, you trying to make me think that you got it like that, and come to find out you don't. And now that I'm here, you're like, babe, I really need you to stay because I can use you to help me pay the bills. And of course, it was financially better for me as well at the time. I could save more money or put money in other places. You know, I was trying to do other entrepreneurial things, so it kind of worked itself out.
Yeah.
But I wish I would have just paid more attention even to things like that, you know? So it's probably like little warnings, nudges that I, you know, God was probably giving me throughout the whole situation. But you know, when we want what we want, you know, and we do what we do, so we think it's all great.
Yeah.
So we just keep going with it, you know? So that happened. So then because I broke up with him though, it made him completely upset. Like when I tell you, he did a complete 360. He just became a total butthole. Like,
whoa.
Shut down, you know, like I said, we were still living together. So it became like really cold, you know, like not really communicating, you know, just like a wall, you know, like he kind of just put this wall up toward me, which a little history and background about me, I already struggled with emotional abandonment. From childhood, you know,
yeah.
I'm the youngest of three daughters. I have one parent that has a substance abuse problem. The other parent is just very emotionally abusive, you know, and neglectful. So I pretty much kind of, and I'm 13 years younger than my middle sister. So I kind of, like I said, grew up almost like an only child, because by the time I was coming up, she was already on her way to move out and having her own kids and things like that. So I really was a loner. So even him, like, kind of, like, doing that to me just made me feel, it was really traumatic, you know, having to experience and feel that. To be with someone that you were with for 2+ years, that I had completely, like, I thought I had been in love before, you know, but and when you get older, you know, and as you learn more about yourself, you learn more about the love of God, you know, you learn how to love people the right way and yourself the right way. You kind of, your view on love and how you love changes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's actually the first man that I could say I completely let all of my guards down with. But that's because he made me feel safe. That's why I say the way that he became was not the person that I dealt with, you know, in the beginning. So I don't know if you want to, I can pause there and you can, you know, ask any follow-up questions, because it's definitely, you know, more that I want to share. Just, you know, like even how we met and things like that. Because like I said, it was just a completely left field how everything ended, you know.
Yeah. So first off, I want to say kudos to you, because as you were talking about you going through your own personal, I'm not going to say issues, I'm going to say trauma, you still became the person that you are today. And thank God for that. I really do.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
PSA, brothers, do not take women out on a credit card.
No. Okay.
That's
please.
An absolute no.
Yeah.
Ladies,
if
he's taking you out with a credit card, walk away. Just walk. You do not need a credit card to impress somebody. Let me rephrase that. You do not need to go in debt to impress nobody.
There you go. I'm
giving you that for free.
Yes.
Amen. You're welcome. Amen. So a couple of things that I wanted to mind from that. When you say he asked questions, you said like, can you deal with my issues? Were there other questions he asked you that kind of made you think, what do you mean?
Actually it was really just that. Like he just kept saying, you know, while I go through this and you know, I have all these problems and can you handle it? You know, but I will say this, throughout the whole process of us planning, he kept making it seem like it was money. He buy the iPods and the fancy TVs, and he don't mind spending money on shoes. You know, like, I'll never forget, he bought me some Huaraches I hated those shoes. Yeah. They look like boats on my feet. I'm like, you paid $100-something for these. I don't like them. Take these back. Get these $70 Nikes I saw at DSW, and I'll be happy with that. So I saved you some money, sir. You're welcome. You know what I mean? I don't care about how much they cost. They ugly on my feet. Man. I don't like them. And they were white, too, you know? So that was, like, the worst. But he knew I wanted white tennis shoes, so his heart was in the right place. But it's like, sir, you know that's not my style, you know? Yeah. So those are little conversations we even had throughout our relationship, little things that could have been an argument, but we would work through it. We really had really good communication, you know? Even though a lot of it was prompted by me, so that's that's another thing. But I will say this. He kept, again, making it seem like it was money until he couldn't use that excuse anymore. Because I literally found the cheapest place that we could have an outdoor reception. We were going to go to the Justice of Peace. And then all the biggest expense would have just been a little bit of, you know, food catering. But yeah. It was still going to be a small crowd, so it still wasn't going to be that expensive. It's almost like once I eliminated every single objection that he could have possibly had that I didn't know really was, this was the real root of the objections. He kept making it seem like he just didn't want to spend a lot of money. But really, you was just scared, my man. And you just couldn't, you know, couldn't tell me that, you know. And then speaking to, you know, like other people around me, you know, people will have you think in that type of situation. Excuse me, ladies listening who may be, because I feel like this happens a lot, Dwayne. I don't mean no shade to your sex. You know, I know you're married already and everything. But honestly, to me, I feel like this happens so much. And a lot of times kids are already involved at that point, which just makes it worse. But I feel like men, especially culturally, Black African-American men, are famous for signing up for these relationships, these family situations, and then I don't know what happens. It's like something clicks, and then people just kind of, you know, they just abandon ship, you know, abandon the woman, abandon the family. And I'm like, it's something that just has got to stop. And honestly, that was why I wanted to come on here, because if nothing else, I wanted to shed light on the things that God helped me reflect on much later, once he started to take me through the healing and forgiveness process. That I'm like, man, if I would have just slowed down for a minute, if I would have just paid attention, if I would have just, you know, it could have spared me some heartache, you know, and stuff in the end.
I hear you on that. And it's sad that does happen. It really is, because I know people who've been in that situation before, and I'm just like, I don't understand it. But the one of the things that you just said, you said the healing forgiveness process. Talk about that. What was that like?
So everyone, so like you mentioned, I definitely have my trauma. I have my issues. So I had, you know, thought I had gotten to a place where I had pretty good coping mechanisms, but I'm not gonna lie. Going through that process, I definitely defaulted back to some of my old, you know, more unhealthy coping mechanisms. Like,
yeah.
So what I didn't mention also was that, like I said, because of the situation between him and I, before I answer your question, I'm definitely going to answer. But before I, after everything happened, I probably stayed with him about another 3 or 4 weeks. And then it became obvious that I needed to move back out again. Like, because I'm one of those people where I like having peace in my home, you know, and peace where I live at, peace of mind. And so if I'm anywhere where I feel uncomfortable, I'm like, listen, I don't care if financially strapped or not. You know, I had to just go in my prayer closet, do some research, and I found another apartment.
Literally, that's like facts. 2 weeks later,
and I was moving back out again. So, you know, so once I moved back out, and it's so crazy, but it sounds so dysfunctional. He literally was the person who helped me with the U-Haul situation, helped me move my things into my new place, even though we're not together. He's helping me do this. So, you know, it's emotional and I'm going through it, but I need him, you know, still in that situation. So even that was humbling. I remember standing in the U-Haul because then he had dropped me off at a school so I can pick up the truck, and I was bawling, crying, and he did not care. He was sitting in the car with me. He did not care. And I, the way that I felt, and I remember calling my sister on the phone, and, you know, she's a Christian and, you know, intercessor, so she praying for me and just trying to encourage me, and I felt better. Then he comes and stands behind me in line, and I'm looking like, I really just want to, excuse me, you know, I'm very unladylike, but I really just want to spit on you right now. Like, are you serious? Like, get out of my face. That's how I felt in that moment. Because it's like, again, but that to me was the signs of a narcissistic person, and it was signs of that with him before, But I always thought it was something else, you know, just that he wasn't in touch with his emotions. But really, people who have narcissistic tendency are very non-empathetic, you know, to other people. They have a hard time feeling and showing emotions in reference to other people. You know what
Got
I mean?
Got you. So okay.
I really think that's where that kind of stuff was coming up at. But anyway, the healing and forgiveness process for me, it definitely was a process. I'll never forget, like, one of my pastor, shout out, Pastor Krista Simpson of Methodist for Christ Ministries, if that's okay. She always says when we're on prayer calls and things, she's like, forgiveness can be immediate, but healing is the process. So forgiveness can be immediate with the help of God, but it all it does is initiate the healing process. So just don't think just because you forgive someone that it's just like, oh, okay, that's it, I'm done, and I'm over it. You know, it's that process afterwards. So for me, it was at first after I moved out, I definitely, you know, hit up some old people, you know, because I'm single again. And now I'm trying to deal with the feeling of being lonely. You know, I went from being having someone to be around for a year and a half, 2 years, to now I'm back sleeping in the bed alone, you know, those things.
So yeah.
I kind of did some of those unhealthy things. And then once I got tired of that, it didn't take very long. once I got tired of that, I was like, okay. I just started working, and I worked a lot. And I think, and I kind of was like burning myself out. And I think one day my middle sister actually was like, listen, you cannot continue to do this. You can't, you know, like, I know you feel like you need money, but you are like stressing yourself out. You are killing yourself. You know, you're sleepy going back and forth to work. What if you have an accident?
That's like, nothing
and I
but
know
facts.
It's really you just trying to, yeah, you just trying to run away from what is really, you know, plaguing you. She was like, you have to stop this. So I did. I kind of slowed down and I had to just sit with my feelings. You know, I think for me, and hopefully this will help someone else, a lot of times the hardest thing is forgiving yourself, you know, because sometimes you put all this blame and responsibility on yourself, because I don't like to play victim. You know, like I even when I am the victim, I feel some type of way to play victim. So even growing up when I was younger, when someone would do something to me, I would always think, okay, how can I make sure that this doesn't happen to me anymore? You know, how can I make sure I don't feel like this?
Right.
You know, so it was always me trying to take ownership. Sometimes that wasn't even my ownership to take. It was just, listen, this person did this to you. Accept that. I know it makes you feel cruddy. It makes you feel low or whatever the case may be, but just sit with that, own that, you know, and just, you know, feel whatever you have to feel behind that. So for me, it was just me having to just come to grips with the fact that, okay, I probably made a bad decision, but it's not like I got here on my own. You know, I had some help getting to this place emotionally. The sad thing is I didn't have his help to get out of it. So that's the other piece. After I moved to my other place, I had it in my mind that, okay, maybe we'll date, you know, we'll keep in contact. So I would still call him, text him. I know this sounds crazy, but I guess in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know how you go from living with someone, you know, this is quote unquote your best friend for like 2+ years, to all of a sudden just cold turkey not talking to them. But that's pretty much what he wanted. And I discovered that after a while of contacting him and him not hitting me back and that kind of thing, which then of course has made me feel more rejected. You know, like I already feel abandoned in this situation, you know, and how you just kind of just carry me. But then it's like, now I feel even more rejection because you don't even want to be my friend. Like he's trying to make me feel like I did something wrong.
Oh, I've been there.
For myself. Yeah. You know, how does that? I mean, it's crazy, right? It feels crazy. And it's like, but you are the reason that we're here. You're the reason I'm not over there with you and I'm living in my own place. And, you know, like I wasn't even financially ready for that again. But OK, it is what it is. I know God will provide. But yeah, you make me feel like I did something wrong to you. Like when I said yes to you, when you got down on one knee, when we was in the apartment alone that night, I meant yes when I said my yes. You know, we're here because a decision that you wasn't willing to be honest with me. And to be honest, Dwayne, the way that he reacted, I could have went back real quick and be like, oh, well, you know what? I said that out of emotion. Let's try to work through it. But the way that he behaved turned me off to the point where I was like, nope, I made the right decision, you know, at that point, because it allowed me to see so many of his true colors that I know I probably wouldn't have seen had it not been for that situation, or it would have been much longer down the line, perhaps after we were already married, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
in hindsight, I know that it was God sparing me probably from so much that I didn't see, you know, but of course in that moment, it didn't feel that way. It just felt really ugly and painful, you know? And so my self-esteem was kind of in the trash. My sense of self was in the trash. Cause you know, sometimes we get our sense of self-worth, especially as a woman, you know, cause we're caregivers and, you know, we're nurturers and sometimes we get our value from that. And so when those positions or situations are taken from us, we almost feel like less than a woman sometimes, you know.
Wow.
So having to even deal with that as well. When I knew I was feeling better and I actually had gotten past it quite a bit is when I found myself, because for a minute I was just emotionally shut down, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like I like to all men, to anybody, you know, like I didn't care how cute he was, what his conversation was. I know my whole body language and demeanor was like, lock, nope, mm-mm. You know, I was my heart, what is it? I got an ice box where my heart
used to be.
Listen, it was like, you know, the little emoji where the chick is like, cross arms in the front, the guy's like, yeah, all of that. And so, yes, that, so that's how I knew I had gotten better, when I found myself actually being more open to, you know, to flirt, to a look, being attracted to someone. And you think that's something so basic, but I'm telling you, when you've been traumatized, because I was traumatized, because like I said, it was almost took me back to my childhood. And it's like little things could trigger me. I think he also was spying on my Facebook, because he would like block me and then unblock me and then like block me and unblock me. And we used to go to high school together, so we have a lot of mutual friends, you know. So it was nothing for me to go to someone's page and his picture pops up because now he decided to unblock me today. It was just like a lot of stuff, and he still has me blocked with most of his stuff, but I'm just like, sir, you still mad? You know, yeah. Like, how am I still blocked with all of your stuff?
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever. So yeah.
Oh wow. Honestly, I'm listening to your story, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna speak this now. A book will be coming soon. So that's something I'm gonna speak over you now. Another thing that I wanted to say is when you actually forgave him,
mm-hmm.
how did that feel and what was that like for you?
Mm-hmm. So actually it was freeing. It was because really I think I was able to forgive him pretty quickly, thank God.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't even know, because I can't take ownership of that. But I really am one of those people who just can't really hold grudges for a long time. And typically once I talk about something, I actually feel better. But yeah. I didn't tell you this. One thing I did do that helped me, and I wouldn't advise anyone to do this, because like I said, he blocked me from everything. He did all of that. One day before I moved back home with my parents, after the whole move out, and that was another situation. I ended up having a bed in my apartment that I had just got into as soon as I got comfortable, and then I had to move back out of there. So I had to come back home with the parents. But anyway, before I moved back home with them, I actually went to popped up on him.
Oh, wow.
And he was, that's why I wouldn't advise that to anybody, because not everyone can handle that situation. But for me, because I knew that I kind of needed a little bit more closure and he wasn't going to give that to me, you know, I just went ahead and kind of just did that on my own cognizance. And it actually did allow me to get a lot of things off my chest. And so once I did that, that really set it in motion for me more to be able to move on. He probably didn't know that's what he was doing for me. You know, he probably just thought, oh, okay, she's here. And he actually even tried to invite me upstairs. You know, for what? Really, dude? You blocked me for months and you think I'm about to, yeah, no, I'm good.
That's a negatory. That's a negatory.
Yeah. But, you know, and then some other stuff happened after that, but it really did allow me to release. And so, like I said, it was freeing. I was able to at least move on. Because I think for a minute up until that point, so we broke up in probably, oh my gosh, it's been over a year now, so I'm trying to think. I want to say early 2019, so maybe we broke up in March. By April 2019, I was moving back out on my own.
Mm.
I popped up on him in October. So I'll say from that April probably till about October, I kind of was just still struggling with things, you know, because it was just like so many unanswered questions, you know, like, how do you do this? Like I said, how do you just block me? How do you? And so me being able to go see him, kind of set eyes on him, and us both discussing, you know, how we felt. He told me his point of view, why he did what he did, you know, whatever, whatever. It allowed me to release a lot of stuff. And I think that right there allowed me to be able to move on a lot quicker at that point. So, yeah.
All right.
Definitely liberating. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's good. That's good. So after all of this, mm-hmm. you know, going through the forgiveness, what does forgiveness mean to you now?
Mm-hmm. Forgiveness to me now. Actually, it's, believe it or not, it's understanding.
Mm.
Because, meaning even of the other person, you know, just across the board. Because when you're still going through that healing process, you know, all you can do, at least initially for most people, is focus on your side of things, how you felt. I think as you start to heal, God heals you. You know, you go to counseling, however, you know, that process goes for you. You start to see the other person's perspective a little bit more.
Yeah.
And there's some understanding that can kind of come into that place. You know, you just start to see the human side of them. Because, and it's so sad, though, because my family, like my mom was not for us being engaged. My mother has really great discernment. I know that's her gift. That's one of her power.
Oh, moms, no.
You know what I mean? She has that discernment on point. And out of everybody in the family, when he, because he actually went to my parents to ask for my hand in marriage and my family to get this approval. And she was like, no. You know, and she tried to say it because she felt like I wasn't ready. But I think in her heart and her spirit, she knew something about, you know, she could sense something. But, you know, so I say all that to say, my family, after everything was over, they were more angry and hurt than even than I was. And that made me more mad, you know, because I felt like I didn't have to bring you around my family. They embraced you, supported you. Because he went through the police academy and now he is a police officer in D.C. They supported him through that because he flunked out of the academy before. So his own family didn't even support him. You know what I mean? It was me and my family kind of rallying behind him. Yeah, so they still to this day. My mother is like, she is done with him. I'm like, he will never. Even if we became friends again, he is not invited to any more family nothing. You know, because my mother would probably slice him up or something. She's not a murderer, but I don't know. But no, really though, Dwayne, honestly, it's understanding and compassion. You know, and those things. Because that's what it became for me. Because that's, like I said, after God helped me get through my little, you know, I ain't gonna say my little feelings, but my feelings. It was like, okay, I could see how he might have did that. You know, he didn't know.
Yeah.
And I can only hope, and I think I told him this the last time I did actually get to speak to him. Like, please just don't do this to anyone else. You know, like, please, just don't.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, you shouldn't be able to live with yourself. Just don't make this a practice. Get yourself some help. And just don't put anybody else through this because nobody else deserves it, you know?
I did it, and
nobody else deserves it.
I like that. What is one thing you wish that you could have known earlier when it came to forgiving someone, forgiving this person?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I wish I could have known. You said in reference to forgiving them, but yes. Something I wish I would have known.
Yes.
I guess I wish I would have known, honestly, how deeply rooted he felt, like, you know, his issues were.
Wow.
I think if I knew the extent to how he really felt about things, because I think maybe I subconsciously, like, not intentionally, might have kind of brushed some of his, you know, demons, as he called it, or trauma, kind of, like, brushed it off. Never trying to make him feel like his feelings or whatever he was going through wasn't valid. But again, like I said, I just don't dwell from that place, even in my own situation. You know, like when I have problems, we all have problems. And every now and then, you know, stuff gets you down. But I'm the kind of person where I feel like my life and the things that happen around me based on how I grew up and different things I battle with, if I really sat there and processed all of it and really, you know, focused on it, I would definitely deal with depression more often than I already do.
Man,
so
what?
So I just try not to exist at that place. Like, you visit there sometimes, but I try not to live at that place.
Right.
But again, I think that in reference to him, I think that I would have been able to forgive him quicker, or even just maybe even give him the space that he felt like he needed without breaking up with him, had I realized the extent to, you know, his trauma and what he felt like he needed to work on.
Okay.
Because I do think me breaking up with him probably at first was an emotional response. But like I said, it was the behavior after that that was, okay, yeah, so it's a no for me. Let me just try to keep moving forward. Because this right here is not the dude that I fell in love with, and I don't like you right now.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah.
So what is one thing that you would like to impart to the audience?
Yes. And I believe this can go, it can probably go male or female. But so just to give some jewels that God helped me realize after everything was all said and done. First of all, I never forget Toray Roberts. And it's funny because me and my ex would watch a lot of YouTube interviews, documentaries, you know, Netflix, whatever together. And we actually happened to watch this thing about, and I feel like it was related to relationships that Toray Roberts and Sarah, his wife did, you know, Sarah Roberts did. And he said, you know, it's a no unless God says yes. It's not a yes until God says no. So for me, going into the situation with my ex, I was praying about it, but it wasn't a pray and wait. It was a pray, okay, God hasn't said anything yet. Okay, I'm going to keep praying. God hasn't said anything yet. You know, I'm going to keep praying. God hasn't said anything yet.
We've all done that. You know what I mean? We've all done that.
It was that, right? And so that allowed me to keep going. And honestly, I ain't going to lie, when Toray said that in the video, literally, like, looked at my ex, it kind of was like thinking to myself, like, oops. But by that time, I don't even know if we were engaged. We were just, you know, thinking about it and talking about it and stuff. But I was just like, oh my gosh. So I would say pray and wait.
Yeah.
And that honestly, that situation taught me that. Because that's what I do now.
Yeah.
And you know, and I hate to say it kind of like paralyzed me. So you know how the Bible, the word of God says that all things work out for the good of those that love God, right?
Yeah.
According to his purpose. So when I look back at it, I honestly think God his permissive will allowed me to go through everything I went through with my ex so that I can finally surrender that area to him.
Because
anyone listening to the sound of my voice, we stubborn humans, you know, we think we know everything, we got it in the bag.
We talk about that.
To God, and then we keep this over here. And all right, God, I'll trust you here, but this I'm gonna keep over here.
Yeah.
And this situation honestly traumatized me to the point where it's like, you know what? You got it.
Yep.
I can't do this on my own.
Yeah.
My bad that I didn't listen to you, the other 5-10 guys before now, but listen.
5-10,000 times.
Yep. So I would definitely say pray and wait. And if you don't get an answer from God, then the answer is no. Just act as if the answer is no. Because the last thing you want is to proceed forward and then you get the no in the end, like I did. Because to be honest, Wayne, I really believe that that's why that situation also happened with him toward the end, because I actually did start praying and seeking God for once about whether I should marry this man. So it was like, oh, okay, so now you want my answer? You know, I could have said you could have saved some time, some energy, some heartache if you'd asked me a little while ago.
Man.
Really waited for the answer, but it's okay. I got you, boo. Let me get you up out of here.
Yeah.
So I would say that. And then I will also say this, Dwayne, if I can. Be honest with yourself, because, and I think this is also what I grappled with, and I didn't get to mention this, but I'm going to mention it quickly. Before him and I got together, I had finally, for the first time in my life, gotten to the point where I was comfortable with being single. I was content with being by myself. I had a little circle of people I was dating. I wasn't doing anything else. And I tell you, I didn't even give anybody a kiss. But I was going on dates and I was enjoying that season, you know, and then, you know, he hit me up on Facebook and that's how we started talking. So even in that, it was like, dang, who's to say that God didn't really have somebody for me? The enemy set the counterfeit first, you know, but if I just could have just stayed in that place that God had helped me finally get to. But what it was is I wasn't honest enough with myself to say that, yes, I'm content with being single, but I do still desire to be married. I kept trying to tell myself I was okay, that I didn't really need a man. I didn't have to have a man. I'm good, you know? And, you know, God can't heal what we don't reveal. So after that situation, it showed me, okay, stop faking the funk, Lexi. You know you want to be married. You know you want a family. You know, I don't have any children. I'm 32. I'll be 33 next month. I don't have any kids, you know? most people around me on 2, 3, 4 kids by now, you know? So I'm like, I do desire that. Stop lying to ourselves. Because see, if we can tell the truth with our, to ourselves first and then to God, then he can help us with that. But as long as we keep lying to ourselves, the devil gonna be like, all right, so she try, he gonna keep trying to send whatever. Cause he like, she ain't even willing to tell herself the truth. She can't, she ain't inviting God into whatever the problem is because she lying to herself about it. So that's like an open door for the enemy. So just be honest with yourself, you know, no matter how painful it is to admit whatever it is that you desire. Cause you know, I think for me growing up with not always having that emotional peace with my dad, you know, it's hard for me to be vulnerable with a man, to be honest, to go there, to be naked, so to speak, you know, with a male. Emotionally and stuff. So it was always hard for me to admit that need, you know? In my household, it was a negative. You know, my father kind of threw some things back in my mother's face, and that kind of made us all, he kind of grow up like, we strong, we don't need, you know, like that kind of thing. But come on, ladies, that's a lie. Let's stop it.
Honestly, that's in a lot of households that say, yeah, we don't need therapy. We don't need help. We all right. No, we not.
No.
if we were, we wouldn't be in this situation now, would we, Captain?
Absolutely. I'm going back to therapy now soon, actually. I finally think I found someone. So
very good. I look forward to that. So yeah. Very happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very happy for you. I wanted to say thank you for doing this. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for telling your story and just speaking to us. And thank you. I appreciate that. I really do.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, everyone listening. I pray that you all get something.
For real. I say that all the time. So let people know, how can they get in contact with you? Let people know what you got going on, everything. The floor is yours.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, my main website that I've been directing everyone to, because I'll post any link that I'm doing, including a link for this interview on there as well. But it's Lexy, L-E-X-Y. SADA.com. So it's LexiSade.com. That's my link tree, you know, link. And then my podcast is Lex and the City Show _ podcast on Instagram.
Got you. And for those of you who did not catch that, I'm going to put that in the show notes that y'all can easily click on it. Subscribe to her podcast, follow her on social media, connect with her. Be like Nike and just do it. All right? Appreciate y'all.
thank you.
Lexi, again, thank you. Thank you for
thank
this.
Thank you. Thank you, Dwayne. I appreciate it.
That was such a powerful episode. I want to thank you, Lexi Day, for coming onto the podcast and sharing your story with us. God can't heal what we don't reveal, and forgiveness can be immediate, but healing is the process. That was just a few of the gems that I mined. And if you wanted to go and mine more, rewind this interview. It was definitely amazing. I know a lot of us think that we want to forgive that person who hurt us and that we can't. But I wanted to let you know that with the power of Jesus Christ, we can. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, power over sin, and power of the enemy. If you want Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins, my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer, I wanted to say thank you and welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. I also wanted to thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate on all platforms, and most importantly, share this with other people. You never know what they're going through. I wanted to let you know that the Power of Forgiveness has a group page on Facebook. Join the group and get in on the conversation. The link is in the show notes. I also have my social media pages in the show notes as well. You can follow me on both Instagram and Facebook. You can also leave me a voicemail anchor. I would love to hear from you. I also wanted to let you know that I am a coach. And as a coach, I want to partner with you in a thought-provoking and creative process that inspires you to maximize your personal and professional potential. I want to help you navigate and overcome those obstacles that's blocking you from achieving and becoming all that you want to be. And also to help you get through those obstacles of forgiving that person. If you're interested, book a session with me. You can email me at dstatonspeaks@gmail.com. That's D as in David, S as in Sam, T A T E as in Echo, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, P as in Paul, E A K S as in Sam @gmail.com. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that is not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.